Al Shopton, and we are back. Reverend Charles Williams, pastor of the historic King Solomon Baptist Church in Detroit, head of Michigan State National Action Network, my co-host for the last hour. As I spoke earlier this week about the First Step bill that was signed today, I think that it is a step in the right direction. I remember when it was first proposed, I and others had questions, but I was convinced that people got in there, went to work to make it stronger, as strong as you could in this political climate. And we always have to remember the human factor. There are people in jail that need to be dealt with. There are families separated that need to be reconciled. There are people that get convicted in Michigan that are sent to Florida that ought to be relocated because families can't even be near them. So that the bill did not have and does not have everything I want, but no bill probably does. They faced that in the 60s. And I think that that is why I said that in no little measure, one of the things that convinced me of that, NAND member of Congressman Hakeem Jeffries and others were involved, Cory Booker, all the way through our legislative conference last month, was on the phone back and forth, Jared Kushner and them. But the person that really, I felt, showed the sincerity is one that I've known and have grown to really, really respect and deal with. You know, I always talk to you, Reverend Williams, about you and the young guard, NAND. I'm 13 years younger than Reverend Jackson. He was 12 years younger than Reverend King, Dr. King. His brother's about 14 years younger than me. This is a generation-to-generation movement, intergenerational. Right. And he's operated with impeccable integrity, whether one agrees with him or not, whether it was in the Obama administration, whether it was an environmental activist, whether it was a him becoming a media platform host and legitimate, well-known activist in this country. He's operated with integrity and humility, and I'm glad to have him on the phone. He said, Rev Mal, when I leave the White House signing the bill, I want to come on there and talk about the bill, why and where I am with it to the people. And that's the kind of person he is. I'm talking about Van Jones. Van Jones is on our live line. Van, how you doing?
Hey, I tell you, I'm proud and I'm relieved, and I can't tell you how much it means to me to hear you say that. As you know, when we were in Oakland, young activists fighting police brutality, we studied your every move. We read your book, Go Tell Pharaoh, which I still recommend to every young activist. And to have you honor and acknowledge my work, it just means I can't tell you, I don't even have words. We had no real direction going into the 90s. Suddenly, the Democrats and even a lot of civil rights people were on the side of what they now call mass incarceration, three strikes and you're out of the crime bill. And you know, we were the young African Americans who were catching hell. And you know, I was 24 years old with a law degree. We did not know what to do, so we just patterned everything we did after you. I don't even know if you realize, you know, what you were doing in New York was the really only model we had to deal with, you know, racist, you know, hate violence coming from police and from vigilantes. We were just literally just everything you did, we were just pattern it. And so after 25 years to be in a position where, you know, these moments, as you know, sir, just come along so rarely that you can actually get something done. And just the oddity of having a Jared Kushner whose dad went to prison to be in the Trump White House fighting, really, you know, trying to move his father-in-law. I said, I can't be neutral in a fight between a Jared Kushner, son of a formerly incarcerated person, and Jeff Sessions, who's trying to pull everything backwards. So I decided to stick my neck out and risk being misunderstood by my community to see if we could get something done. And my goodness, it was a roller coaster. It was like being on a seesaw in a roller coaster in a hurricane. But we got it done, sir, and I appreciate your help and support and your counsel along the way.
Let me break down what this bill does do.
Well, I mean, the great thing about it is there was a lot of confusion about this bill because the early version in the House was a very modest, meaningful, but a very modest bill.
Right.
And then we took it over to the Senate, as you know, and we improved it and strengthened it and strengthened it and improved it. And so a lot of the critiques of the bill refer to the early drafts. They don't refer to what just got signed into law. For instance, people say it's only going to help 2,000 people or whatever. No. It will help the 3,000 people who were sent to jail under these horrific crack cocaine laws that are now outdated and have been changed in other parts of the law. Retroactively now, about 3,000 people who have been sitting in prison for way too long for crack cocaine, they will be coming home. But that's just a small part of this bill. 100% of the 180,000 people in prison will be able, all of them, to earn their way home a little bit sooner by just staying out of trouble. So-called good time credits is going to go up. About half of them will be able to earn their way home even sooner by taking classes, getting job ready, and being personally transformed. 100% of the women behind bars are no longer going to be shackled when they're giving birth and otherwise mistreated. 100% of the people who are locked up will have to be held now within 500 miles of their families, which is just a revolutionary change because, as you were pointing out, families just get destroyed by being shipped all around the country with no notice or anything else. 100% of the juveniles in the system can no longer be put in solitary confinement. And there's many other things like that. It is the New York Times says it's the biggest breakthrough in criminal justice in a generation. Yeah. It's called the First Step Back. There's many more things that have to be dealt with, but we have finally broken the logjam. And I liken it, sir, to the 1959 Civil Rights Act, which is now forgotten. But that was the first time in about 100 years that they had voted for civil rights, and people were afraid if they voted for it, they would be called communists or Negro lovers or whatever. And people voted for it in 59, and nobody lost their seat. The media praised it. So when 64 came along for the big act, and then 65 after Selma, there was already a playbook for how you get it done, and they were able to get it done. So I see this as a first step in that spirit. And there will be bigger bills later on and other bills later on, but we have finally broken the logjam.
No, and one of the things that was interesting to me, and I'm glad you brought up the first draft that was in the House, because many of us said, no, that's not strong enough. I think Congressman right. Bobby Scott was raising it. And I saw him stand there today at the signing, which was yeah. indicative of how many of us that were skeptical said that, no, it's better than it was. Is not all we want, but it does begin the process that we want to begin. We saw President Obama commute a lot of sentences, and now this gives us law. This is not just commutations. And that's in no small measure to your presence and your sticking out your neck knowing you were going to be criticized. That's the test of real leadership. Martin Luther King used to say that you measure a man by not where he stands in the time of convenience, but in the time of controversy. And you showed real integrity and courage to stand up and do that. But as these people, 180,000 people can get home, 3,000 retroactively getting home, that's who you would need to focus on. The critics will have somebody else. They'll chew on me or somebody else tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
Well, we read in Go Tell Pharaoh when you were talking to Reverend Jesse Jackson, and you were a young guy, and you were complaining. And Reverend Jackson said, "Well, when you see a football game, who's everybody trying to chase and knock down and mistreat? The guy with the football." And
that's
so,
right.
And so we take comfort in that we at least have grabbed the ball. We're not up in the stands. We're not just criticizing. We've grabbed the ball. We may be running the wrong direction. We may get knocked down, but at least we have the ball. And for me, that ball is freedom. There is nothing more important than freedom. And no politician, no political party, no political food fight, Black Twitter, nothing is more important than freedom. And if we can get even one person home, like Miss Alice Johnson, that her coming home and Kim Kardashian getting involved, and she's the only person who could get through to Trump.
Right.
Once she came home, her heart, Black women have a magical power of soul and presence. And her heart spoke somehow to Trump's heart, and it's almost like the Grinch, his heart grew a couple little sizes just in light of her passion and her spirituality. And so the First Step Act was not the first step. The first step was Miss Alice Johnson coming home and the power of her example encouraging Trump to do more. So God got into this, and to have 87 votes to 12. In this day and age, when you can't get 87 votes to change the name of a post office and to have 87 votes to 12 and to have Tom Cotton, who put forward all kind of racist scaremongering, just be voted down, just humiliated. He's trying to amend the bill to kill the bill, just humiliated by his own party. Grassley stood up and dressed him down. To see that happening, Black Lives Matter and all the movements that have pushed this issue forward, I believe, can take yes for an answer now. The country has heard our cry for their own reasons and their own ways, as politicians always do. They are beginning to move in a positive direction.
And we've got to keep it moving, and we got to support that movement. And you're right, we can't get 87 votes to keep the government open today. So that shows you where it's going. Well, I wanted you to come on, and you reached out, and I wanted people to hear from you. And I wanted them to hear my respect and regard for you, because you just that kind of person to me. And I think it is important. Thank you, Van, and we'll be certainly staying in touch. Van will be part of our convention again in April, as he was last year. And we're glad that you pushed the ball forward and made a touchdown. Score. Now let's go on and win the Super Bowl of real criminal justice reform in total. Thank you, Van Jones. Thank you, Reverend Williams. Sir. Let me thank all of you that called in, listened in. You that called in and couldn't get through, but hung in there anyhow. Remember, whatever you do, wherever you go, however you feel, tell somebody, tell anybody, tell everybody. Reverend Al told you personally, keep it real. Keep it real. Keep it real. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Al Sharpton's views and opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent those of Radio 1 Incorporated, our affiliates, our subsidiaries, or our advertisers.
Breaking news. The issues, the stories affecting you. Now here's the news from News1.com.
I'm Ebony McMorris. Well, it looks like the president could be turning on Mick Mulvaney as his upcoming acting chief of staff due to a 2-year-old video.
Mulvaney hasn't even started his new job yet, but these comments...
Yes, I'm supporting Donald Trump. I'm doing so as enthusiastically as I can, given the fact that I think he's a terrible human being.
...have apparently angered Trump. Trump's announcement of Mulvaney as acting White House chief of staff followed a troubled hiring process that saw several of his preferred picks refuse the role. Axios says that Trump was furious when he heard about the footage. A spokesperson for Mulvaney dismissed the remarks as old news and said he changed his mind about Trump after they met. Mike Bauer, NBC News. News Radio.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says he supports legalizing marijuana, provided that corporate interests are kept out of the picture. The mayor's announcement yesterday comes after years of refusing to commit to legalization, but he calls the process an opportunity that must be done right while raising against other corporate entities like pharmaceutical, oil, and tobacco companies. De Blasio demanded that state lawmakers ensure small business owners drive the weed industry if it's made legal. De Blasio also said any path forward towards legalization should include the immediate expungement of criminal records for any convictions associated with low-level marijuana offenses. In other news, Jay-Z is trying to convince Travis Scott to back out of his 2018 Super Bowl halftime performance. The rapper will be taking the stage alongside Maroon 5, the headlining act, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta in February. Jay wants him to pull out, though, because of the NFL's handling of players kneeling during the national anthem to protest police brutality. Maroon 5 has reportedly been having a hard time finding musical guests who want to perform with them because artists reportedly don't want to be associated with the league. For all the news 24/7, go to news1.com. I'm Ebony McMorris.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Hey, man, where'd you get all that extra cash?
yo, keep it down. I went online to 67cash.com and bam!
Whoa.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. $4,000 was in my account today.
Wait a minute. 67cash.com helped you get 4K just like that?
You know it! 67cash.com's lenders provide fast cash personal loans for up to $5,000 for people like me with any type of credit.
Man, I'm always short on cash. Do you think 67cash.com will give me the cash I need fast?
If you need extra cash fast, go to 67cash.com. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income. Go to 67cash.com and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 67cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 67cash.com. Type www.67cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 67cash.com. 67cash.com.
How to talk about mental health with anyone.
It's totally possible. You just have to make it relatable.
So maybe start with some metaphors. If it feels okay, throw in a joke. With the right words, you can discuss anxiety with a coworker, bipolar disorder with a boss, PTSD with a parent. Not every conversation will be perfect, but each one fights the stigma around mental illness. And that's a conversation worth having.
You can talk to anyone about mental health. Learn how at bringchangetomind.org.
That is a pretty good breakfast. You're not even eating.
Not ever.
Why not? What's up?
Kath and I knew that Jenny had been partying a bit. Found out she tried heroin.
Most people don't know what to say about drugs, but we do. Visit us at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, where families find answers.